We acknowledge the original custodians on the land where we live. Here, that's the land of the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the Adelaide Plains. Wherever we are, we pay our respects to elders and leaders past, present, and to come, and we commit ourselves to ongoing reconciliation together. May we walk gently and respectfully on the land. My name is Lynn. Have the privilege of being the Minister at Adelaide Western with you today. On the screen we have our much loved ground art in our car park, the Kaurna Shield, and our meeting together around God, the Trinity. Today is Reconciliation Sunday. And so as we light the candle, as we do each week here and at home, we reflect on the flame as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, as well as our continuing the journey of reconciliation together. Reconciliation Sunday is part of Reconciliation Week, and this year Reconciliation Australia's theme for this important week in our calendar is Reconciliation Takes Action. In the words of Dr. Deirdre Palmer, President of the Uniting Church in Australia, this week we acknowledge the wrongs of the past and the present and commit ourselves to take action towards the process of reconciliation. Inspired by the reconciling and renewing work of Christ, may we shape new communities of mutuality, dignity, care and compassion, and a respectful and deepened relationship with this ancient land and her first peoples. This week is a time of coming together to recognise shared experiences in Australia, which includes acknowledging Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders as the first peoples of this country, and coming together to learn from one another and to celebrate our interconnectedness. Reconciliation, it takes action. Today, as we come to worship, we come as we are, laying our burdens down, rejoicing that there's hope, even hope when situations feel hopeless.
Wherever you've been, come brokenhearted, let your rescue begin. Come find your mercy, or sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Who are broken, lift up your face. Oh wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. All those who've strayed, come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are. Sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are, come as you are, come as you
Last week we heard and thought about the story of Pentecost. It moves us, inspires us, and it makes us wonder. Stories do that. I love stories. The Bible is a collection of stories. We hear about people, what they're thinking and feeling through the ages. We see God at work in lives and in the world. I'm reading a psalm every day in my time with God, and today was Psalm 56. David is being attacked, and we hear what he's feeling and thinking. And then at the end of the psalm, his trust in God. God is at work in David's life, and David knows this. And it's been shared with so many people through the ages and available for us to read still today. Today is the fifth Sunday. When we hear from people about where they see God at work in their lives or in their work, and it always inspires me. Sometimes we hear about darkness in people's lives and how God's love sustained them, carried them. Sometimes we hear about the surprise of the Spirit. We thought we were going this way, but actually God was leading us here. In John 3, we find a story. A story about a man named Nicodemus, who's a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus has questions. So do I. He doesn't want to do this publicly. But he comes to Jesus at night. He's recognized that the signs that Jesus is doing come from God. He's recognized that God is at work in the world. And Jesus replies this way, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born?" You know, I've asked questions like this. Nicodemus seems to be on another page to Jesus. He's taking it all rather literally. I know I've done that too. And Jesus answers, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept my testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." And then we come to these amazing words, perhaps the most amazing, the most well-known in the Bible, the most quoted, sometimes somewhat misunderstood. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So the story of Nicodemus leads us to these famous words. The story of questioning and wondering leads us to these words. You know, for many years I missed the word world in there. In my head I read that God so loved all people. But it says the world. God is redeeming the world, and that includes us. God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but to save the world. God is at work in the world, saving the world. We wonder what God is up to in the world. And how can we get involved in that? God is at work in our lives, and we discover more of God every day. Ferg is going to share something of where he sees God at work in his life. We're filming this early. We hope to have two people sharing something of their story. We have Ferg at the moment. We're hoping for a second. But listen to Ferg and hear his words.
So, where do I see God at work in my life? The simple answer is whenever I'm paying attention. But unfortunately, that's not as often as I would like. I spend so much time wrapped up in my head, in my own plans and schemes and preoccupations, and I forget to pay attention to what's happening around me. I don't notice things, I don't notice people. But whenever I do stop and take the time, I can see God at work everywhere. God is wherever I go. Every situation that I am involved in, God is there. God goes before me and prepares the way before me. And I just usually forget to pay attention to that. But recently I've been sharing the journey. There are a couple of dear friends who are going through the valley of the shadow of death in a journey with cancer. And I have no answers other than love. I care and I try to remind them that God loves them in the midst of this time, and that we'll never abandon them. This week I was reflecting, and this passage from Philippians came to mind. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6 says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." I was thinking of my friends, and I sent them a note. "I always thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your boundless encouragement and generous love and your gentleness and kindness that urges me onward and reminds me to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus and my ears attentive to the whispers of the Spirit and my heart open to notice the handiwork of the Father in the world and in the people around me." I pray that we all will pay attention and see God at work in every situation.
Hello, my name's Kylie, and Lynn has asked me to share about where I find God at work in my life. So far, 2021 has been a bit of a roller coaster ride for me emotionally, mainly because of the challenges and uncertainties in my professional life. As many of you know, I retrained to become a primary school teacher and have been doing relief work for the last 2 years. I was really hoping I would have found a placement and have my own class by this time, but job opportunities have been limited. There have been ups and downs as I have applied for positions and made it to an interview, but then been unsuccessful. I am aware that for me, this is a bit of a first world problem, and I'm fortunate that my family is not dependent on my income. But it has still been tough, and at times has made me question my sense of purpose and my call into teaching. This season has reminded me of a book I read a few years ago called Learning to Walk in the Dark by Barbara Brown Taylor. The tagline is, "Because God often shows up at night." And she shares many stories about when this has been the case. Her premise is that darkness is not to be feared, but a natural part of life and our journey with God. When we can't see the plans God has for us clearly, we learn to trust even more that God is good and will fulfill his purposes. The Bible also says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which states, "We know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Like the famous Footprints poem, if I take time to look back and count my blessings, I can see that even in dark times, there are still many signs of God's goodness in my life. I have wonderful family and friends who give me practical and emotional support in busy or stressful times, although I am still learning to speak up and ask for help a little more. Sometimes a devotion I read will have a message that speaks directly into my situation, or I will be uplifted in prayer by those in my Connect group when I really need it. Last month, I received an email from someone I don't see very often, but were able to remind me that in the midst of all my uncertainty, God's love is always constant. While I currently have a short-term contract, I still don't know where the next step on the path will take me. But I am thankful for the reminders around me that whatever happens in my professional life, God will still be with me and that my ultimate purpose is found in him.
We're inspired as we share our stories, and I encourage you to share your stories of God at work with others, even today. Last week I asked the questions, are we surprised by the Spirit in our lives, in our world, in our church? Are our communities surprised by our presence and surprised by the things that we do, our love for each other and for others, and our love and care for the world? You know, God is at work in the world. The Spirit continues to surprise us in our lives and in the world. So today I leave us with questions. Where do you find God at work in your life and work? Where do you see and experience God at work? Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, thank you for the stories in our lives and of our lives. Thank you for the inspiration of stories of others. Thank you that you are at work in the world, in the church, in our communities, and in our own lives. Help us to ponder where we see you at work. Lord Jesus, forgive us for when we don't look for you or recognize your work in the world, for when we separate ourselves from you or from others, for when we miss the mark. Heal our hearts and make them clean, we pray. Thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven. Holy Spirit, continue to surprise us in the world. Help us to be open to your ways. Help us to share with others where we find God in our everyday lives. We pray in the name of Jesus, our refuge, our rock, in whom we trust. Amen. We pause to pray for the world. Let's pray together. Lord, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Open up our eyes to the hurting that is so often unseen. We continue to pray for India and other nations in their struggle under COVID. We pray for more help, for more supplies for the spread to stop and the vaccinations to spread. We pray for Victoria in their 7-day lockdown. Give them strength and resilience. And we pray that this latest cluster would stop spreading. We pray for those who are doing contact tracing and for all those involved in this lockdown at this time. Lord Jesus, we pray for this Reconciliation Week. We pray for shared understanding together, for truth-telling in our communities, our schools, workplaces, and in our churches. We pray for continued strength for First Peoples, for hope and improved opportunities, that gaps of disadvantage would be closed. We grieve the over-representation of First Peoples in our prisons, and we pray for them, and we pray for politicians and policymakers. Help us to walk this journey together, to be reconciling in every way we can, not just in Reconciliation Week, but every week. And Holy Spirit, we pray for those in our midst, those we know struggling in life, undergoing sickness, treatment or surgery, in prison or have family in prison, struggling with change or without hope. And together, we lift names and faces of people and pray for your hope, healing, strength, guidance, and peace for them. We offer our prayers spoken aloud and spoken in our hearts together in the name of Jesus, the King of glory, our Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like prayer, you can either send us an email or press the prayer button if you're watching live. We'd love to pray with you. Next week we'll have communion, so you might like to have some bread and some juice on hand for that. We continue to give our offerings at this time. We give our offerings both practical as well as financial and ourselves. And we pray that our gifts would be used to share God's love with the world. God is at work. In our lives and in our world, we discover more of God every day. And so we ponder, what is God up to in the world and how can we get involved with that? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, friendship, and unity of the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you always. Amen. Blessings on your week.